What is up, NBA fans? You are listening to the Fantasy Hoops Breakdown with Noah Bergman and Patrick Bellew. This is where Fantasy League champions come to get the edge on the competition. You can find us on Twitter at Breakdown Hoops.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. Welcome to the grind. This is what we're titling this week's podcast, Early Season Analysis. Today's breakdown is going to include some general comments about how the season has gone so far. Then Pat is going to take us beyond the box score, and he's going to talk to you a little bit about that later.
Look at the matrix.
Yeah, see the matrix. Going to break down the matrix. Zeros.
Yep.
Then we're going to go into some individual player analysis, which should help with waiver wire pickups and maybe some opportunities there, trades and such. And we're going to finish up with Noah's notes and Pat's predictions.
Excellent. All right, man. Let's go ahead and start it off with some general comments. I know that you've got a few on your mind right now. We went over a few before the show, so Go ahead and knock some of those out, man.
Right. I've noticed this year that there are some pretty interesting effects due to the coaching changes. There are several rookie coaches in the league: Quinn Snyder, Steve Kerr, Blatt, Fisher. Stan Van Gundy's back. He's not exactly a rookie, but he's new to the Detroit Pistons. You've got, you know, Hollins and Kidd and Saunders also with some experience, but they're really affecting all of their teams in that they're talking new player favorites, their minutes are changing, the pace of their teams is changing, etc. Another thing I wanted to talk about too was that there are more bigs shooting threes. We've seen LaMarcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's trying to stretch the floor, right?
That's right. Boston is really leaning on Sullinger and Olynyk to spread the floor more. So this is something that...
It's the trendy thing to do now, right?
Exactly.
It's kind of like a double point guard backcourt.
Yep. And that increased range is now a necessary skill set. So, you know, they talk about the stretch fours a lot, especially on NBA TV. And it's important. So it's something to look for. But it also, what that does to fantasy is slightly decrease the value of three-point shooters. If you are a team that is missing three-point shooters, you're kind of in trouble because they are pretty easy to find. I don't know, Pat, did you want to touch on any of these coaching changes that you thought were particularly poignant? Because I know out in Utah, we were talking about how that increased pace was really...
We thought Snyder was going to change that entire team.
In a way, he did. Favors has gotten more prolific. He's become a solid top...
He's definitely been one of the breakouts on that team.
Early round pick, yeah, exactly. Gordon Hayward is playing much better now, but that is primarily due to the fact that he's shooting better.
Yeah.
He's shooting with 47-48% from the field, and his stats are...
They're pretty similar to what he put up last year.
Right.
But the field goal percentage going up, and that's really what kept him back from being one of the top second, third round picks.
Yeah. And so now he's pushing first, early, second round value in pretty much every league you could find him in. He's almost hitting that 25-5 plateau.
Yeah.
Steve Kerr seems to have figured out what works for the Golden State Warriors. I really like it. They are an awesome team to watch. They turn the ball over all the time, but it's because they're doing like between the leg, behind the back passes, trying to thread the needle to Andrew Bogut. But I like it. They're winning. They're playing really well. And for whatever reason, they really responded to him. Byron Scott, that's tough. Yeah, man.
He pretty much just lets Kobe do whatever he wants. After Kobe has a 30%, field goal shooting night with 30 points, he'll just come out to the media and say, "Hey, Kobe's the only guy on our team that's worth anything, so I just let him do whatever he wants."
Yeah, I have a hard time with how he allocates his minutes to the bigs. You know, why not play Ed Davis more?
Ed Davis. His efficiency ratios are through the roof, man.
Yeah, and he gets like
way better than Boozer.
Hill is excellent.
He's kind of moving up. He's getting more playing time.
Yeah, and, Jeremy Lin's inconsistent, but I think he just needs consistent run. and consistent Definitely. Looks. And I don't think the team has really quite figured out what to do. It's like kind of when you go to play pickup ball and there's that one guy who just dribbles around and shoots threes all the time. And you're just like, maybe I can crash the boards. But other than that, he's going to inbound to himself, walk down and shoot a three. That's kind of like what it's like playing with Kobe Bryant, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's sad, man, because I think Jeremy Lin, and this was one of my predictions from last podcast. Yeah. I think he's so incredible. He's an incredibly smart player, very gifted talent, you know. But if you look at the guys he's played with throughout his career, he's always got one of those dominant ball hog players on the team.
Yeah.
You know, whether it was it's Kobe Bryant or James Harden or Melo. He really can't just shake that and get to the point where he is the dominant ball handler. Cause I think the guy can drive, he can distribute. He's a great passer. You know, and he's aggressive if he's allowed to be put in that position.
Yeah, it's just his shots per game fluctuate so much that it's almost like people on his team don't recognize that he has a specific role to play. And that's, you know, either to shoot or to drive or to kick.
Yeah.
You know, they almost play him like a two sometimes, and Kobe's perhaps the point guard.
Yeah. You know what? I heard an interesting comment on, I believe it was the RotoWire podcast the other day. I'm not sure if it was Kyle or one of his guests that was talking about it, but they were mentioning that Jeremy Lin really has only had a few bad games, if you look at it. And the bad, maybe like four. And if you look at it, the teams that he played were teams that had dominant defensive point guards.
Yeah, you mentioned that. I remember you saying that right after he played like Chris Paul and Golden State or somebody.
And then Beverly in Houston. They played them twice. So, I mean, I wouldn't close the book on Lin. I think he's got a lot of potential. And if Kobe spends, you know, sits time out for any reason, I think you're going to see Lin's sanity emerge
again. It really does seem like Byron Scott's just taking his hands off, you know. But the cool thing is that even with all those bad games and people are saying, oh, he's not performing or he kind of disappears at times, Lin is still giving you top 100 value, like maybe around 100. But that's perhaps higher than he was drafted. And that's, you know, he's got a higher ceiling than that. And if that's his low, that's his floor, hey, he's still doing all right.
Right.
Oh, Stan Van in Detroit.
Oh,
we
gosh.
We talk about this on a weekly basis. I think it's really interesting what's happened to that team, and perhaps we'll go into this a little later when we talk about guys who have disappointed us. Pretty much that entire Pistons team has disappointed me in a fantasy way,
right?
But that's just one thing to bring up, that is not a positive change for some of those stud players on that team,
right?
And Jason Kidd pulling it out somehow in Milwaukee.
Yeah, they're not bad, man. He's like, riding.
They're not good, but they're not bad.
Yeah, I mean, they're still kind of even figuring out their team, too. They haven't even set a solid lineup of starters. But I'll tell you who he does love and who, you know, both you and I kind of love as well is our boy BK Knight.
I know, yeah. British Knight.
I wish he would get sponsored by the BK Knight shoe. Yeah, Brandon Knight's killing it, man. He's one of the few guys getting 35 minutes. And I know there's some guys who are huge on Giannis.
Yeah.
Antetokounmpo.
He's not kind of hard to say. Everyone says it's all hard to say. Antetokounmpo, come on.
He's kind of coming around, man. He got big minutes for the last couple games.
Yeah. Oh, he has. And he's not going to be the player that everyone thought he was. Everyone thought he was going to be some crazy, you know, assist defensive, you know, stud. Nah, he's pretty much just a shooter and a rebounder. And he drives the lane, so he's got mediocre percentages. Still can't really hit a jump shot all that well. But he's not bad. You know, Antetokounmpo is kind of what I thought Jabari Parker was going to be. Like, you know, his upside is like the 18-8 that I kept thinking Jabari was going to come out with.
Uh-huh.
Who knows? I think, you know, I wouldn't drop or trade Jabari at this point. But I think he has that potential.
I mean, keep in mind, Giannis is like 19 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, this.
But in fantasy, I don't care.
I really
don't care.
Unless it's like a keeper league,
which I don't play. So
this guy got 47 minutes one game, 15 minutes the next. 35 minutes to next.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of hard to figure out like what they're doing in Milwaukee, but I'm just saying
if they give to, yeah, nightly games.
Yeah.
That type of thing.
If they give this guy 35 minutes a night, watch out.
Yeah. Yeah. True, true. Let's see. More. I think you were going to talk a little bit about a new game that you've discovered.
Sure. And I know this is not new for some of our listeners. Some of you guys are into daily leagues like DraftKings. It's one that I've kind of gotten into recently. And, you know, yeah, these are daily pay leagues that, you know, you can play games for as little as $1. You could play thousands of dollars. And you kind of draft your own team each night based on like a dollar value that the site establishes. It's interesting. And I've had quite a bit of success with it so far.
Yeah, dude, you're rocking it.
There's different types of leagues that you can play in. One league that's really interesting to me is a 50-50 league where you can join it with maybe 10, 20, 30, 40 different people. And all you have to do is...
Well, up to a few thousand, don't they?
Yeah, there's some league with like 6,000 people. And all you have to do is finish in the top half of the league to double your money.
More or less.
So, yeah, it's not bad. And there are other leagues where it's like multipliers. So if you're in a league where there's 10 teams, you need to finish in the top three to triple your money. Or if you're in a 10-person league and you need to finish first and you can 10 up times your money. So been in that, and you know, we're going to incorporate some comments about daily stuff now that we're getting more involved in that. So
yeah, I mean, I think it's because... You know,
I think it adds a new element to our podcast.
Absolutely. I mean, Pat, you've been talking to me more about this on a daily basis and showing me your lineups and things like that. And I don't quite understand the game yet, and I don't like jumping into something that I can't completely wrap my head around. But I think it's a really cool opportunity, especially if people are out there who are listening to our show, because we're kind of under the radar as well. If you're that much of an NBA fantasy head, this is something that you might really, really enjoy. It is a bit complex at first, but Pat's going to walk you through it a little bit so you feel more comfortable.
Yeah, and we'll probably have like an episode dedicated to it at some point.
We're not sponsored by these guys or anything like that. We just think it's pretty fun.
Sure. And I know the guys over at RotoWire, they do a kind of a daily podcast about this. I think they do a pretty good job. I don't agree with everything they say, but I think they bring up some really good points, and it's just interesting to listen to them. So give those guys a listen as well.
Yeah, Kyle's a real positive guy. I like him.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and talk about, you know, when we're talking about general comments, there's a lot of things that have happened at the start of the season that change values. Injuries is a big part of it. Mm-hmm. And some of those injuries come to big name players. A couple that come to mind. What's going on in Minnesota, man? The whole team seems like they're falling apart. Guys are dropping like flies. Ricky Rubio out for 8 weeks. Kevin Martin looks like he's going to be out for a significant amount of time. Yeah. And Pekovic, who I've never really liked. This guy has so much talent, but he's always injured. Yeah. He's out, and
he's
who knows when he's coming
play
back.
Because he puts up those really attractive points and rebounding numbers, but then he's filling up a forward or a center spot and not giving you any defensive stats.
Oh, yeah. I mean, dude gets blocks or he gets rebounds and points, but no steals and no blocks.
He's just not as consistent as a, you know, Zach Randolph or someone in that realm.
Right, right. So, you know, in the wake of these injuries, first thing I did as soon as Rubio went down was I went out and grabbed Mo Williams, a guy who I've loved, who I think is tremendous. And, you know, really, he shouldn't be a backup. I felt for years that this guy took backup roles, but he should have gone to worse teams and played as a starter. And finally getting a chance to get starter minutes again. And he's put up 10-plus assists in two of the last three games.
Yep.
He's taken 15 shots a game on average now. So...
I mean,
they
he is
toyed around.
With, years old. He's not a young guy.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's not what he was, right. But we're talking about a waiver wire pickup. I think this guy's awesome.
Yeah.
And they toyed around with Zach LaVine for a while.
Yeah.
Dude is terrible. Do not waste your time with him.
The thing I like about Mo Williams is that throughout his career, I don't think he was ever a super, super high assist guy. Like maybe around 6 or 5 or something like that. But he was primarily a three-point shooter. You know, he could hit 38, 40% of his three-pointers. But now on this team, he's being asked to be the distributor, and he's stepping up huge. Like his assists are through the roof. And that, yeah. That's you know, double-digit assists are not easy to come by in this league. although...
Man, I've always been a Mo Williams fan.
Yeah.
I mean, in 2010, the guy played for Cleveland. He averaged 7 assists, but you're right. He was around 4, 5, 6 assists. He was more of a scorer and a three-point shooter.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good
real
point.
Real savvy. You know, he's going to be consistent. And as long as he stays healthy, that's kind of the knock against a lot of these top point guards is that they're just not consistently healthy.
Yeah.
I feel like you have to draft 3 point guards every year just because – 1 to 2 of them will be out at any given time.
And there's a ton of them. I mean, point guard is a really deep position right now. Yeah. So what about Wiggins, man? He had a huge night last night, 29 points, 5 rebounds, 4 steals, played big minutes. With all these injuries, is this time for Wiggins to kind of like break out and get some real run?
That's really tough because Wiggins has been so off my radar.
That, yeah,
you know, I just didn't want to touch him. But right now, he's almost showing more promise because of his minute spike than mm-hmm. Jabari Parker or, I mean, who else were we? Payton.
Your boy Nerlens, who you'd love to just tear Nerlens. Into on a daily basis.
My boy Nerlens. My boy Nerlens is not my boy Nerlens.
Make me cry.
If I saw Nerlens on the street, I would slap him.
You need a ladder to get up there.
Yeah.
Okay, so Wiggins, we'll wait and see. Personally, I think that that Minnesota team is very unpredictable. The fact that they went with Levine over Mo Williams at first tells me that these guys do not really care about winning. They care about development.
But that's good.
And if they're willing to give a guy like Levine time over Mo Williams, who's a proven veteran who can run the offense, I see them willing to give Wiggins enough time and enough shots to do something special in this time period.
Wiggins is definitely, I mean, if he's taking 13 shots a game, if that happens.
He took 22 shots last night.
And he did
22.
Well.
22. Yeah, I think it was like 9 for 22 or something like that.
I mean, I don't see his auxiliary stats blowing you through the roof.
Uh-huh.
So what is your upside for Wiggins this year now? I think when I saw it, I was like, well, initially I was like, he could be 10, 4, and 3 or something. I didn't think that there were just too many guys ahead of him on the depth chart.
Uh-huh.
Now that half their team is injured and their top two scorers as well as, you know, their best distributor are gone, there's really no one else to go to. Might as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Upside for Wiggins. It really depends on his minutes, man. He hasn't been getting a ton of minutes.
Let's give him 32 minutes a game.
32 minutes a game. I think he could average maybe 15 points. Maybe 15 points, maybe 6 rebounds. I don't know.
Six rebounds is a lot. That would be it more is a than lot. He's like gotten in any one game this entire year, I think.
That's true.
I would say 15, I think you're right. 14, 15 with a 3, with a steal and a half, and maybe 2 assists.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's so hard to tell. If I look at this guy's picture, he looks like he's in high school, man. He just does look so young.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how these guys feel on a court, even the guys as talented as him. On a court full of just
his head
monsters,
looks like a high schooler,
right?
His body looks like a massive, like, I mean, yeah, he's in shape. He's a big man.
Yeah, there's just so much room for development for him. I mean, he's going to be a lot better in the future, but this year, I wouldn't get too excited. Just keep a lookout because there's not that many talented players on that team that are left.
If you want to trade for him now, I think that's a great idea. If you have people who are willing to do some early season trades.
Yeah,
I think you could trade for him.
How about in Chicago?
Oh man,
that's another team that's kind of fallen apart with injuries.
It is, but so much opportunity.
Yeah, Gasol, He's kind of been in and out of the lineup. When he's in, he's outstanding.
This is best year, I want to say, like, ever. I can't remember.
He's incredible, man. He's in the
like
perfect
three
spot
blocks
out
a game
there.
At some point, yeah.
Who else? Derrick Rose. Man, don't know what's going on with that guy, but he's. If you drafted him, I'm sorry, because you don't know when he's going to be in.
I was watching that Cavs game when he sprained both of his ankles.
Yeah.
And that is just tough to watch. I don't know. We saw it coming. I can't say that anybody out there didn't half expect this to happen. So anybody who drafted him super early, it's, you know.
You roll the dice. You know what you're doing.
You roll the dice, man. That's what you get.
If you have him in a head-to-head league, I guess, you know, you can kind of stomach it. If you've got him in a roto league, it's kind of painful. And if you're playing at DraftKings, man, I say wait for this guy to come back. And if he drops really, really low in value, he could be worth something. But honestly, in DraftKings, I hate to take risks. He's the kind of guy who you don't even know if he's going to, you know, he could be shooting in the shoot around and he could be probable for the game. And then boom, he's out. And you just lost. You just lost based on one guy giving you a zero.
Yeah,
so,
it's tough. I don't mean to beat a dead horse. So I think we all kind of know what the situation with Derrick Rose is.
Teardrop. All right, man. Let's move to beyond the box scores. And this is a topic that I thought was particularly interesting because you know, we were talking the other day. It's been a while since our last podcast, but on November 5th. Your boy DeMarcus Cousins
that
had a huge,
that is officially
humongous game. He had a huge game. He had 30 points, 11 rebounds, two steals, and shot 71%. And he did this in 22 minutes.
Yeah.
And
and
I was writing
to
you, and I was like, man, I love how. There was a post on Roto World. I can't remember exactly what it said, but it had something to do with like the fact that he got pulled from the game at 22 minutes, and they didn't even really look at the box score to see that he fouled out in 22 minutes. He had six fouls and he was gone. And it's just incredible that this guy could put up that level
like,
of production.
Like they had just sat him because it was a blowout.
Because it was a blowout.
Yeah,
but
the truth was, yes, he had fouled out of that game, and that was an incorrect call. That you know, you really got to keep your head up on a swivel when you're reading some of these lists sometimes.
Yeah. So I mean, just. To give you some perspective, when Noah and I look at box scores, the first thing we go to is probably the points column. The second thing I go to is the minutes. I want to see how many minutes this guy played because that gives me an idea of how involved they were in the game, their efficiency. And then I go to how many fouls they had. If I see their minutes were down, if this is a guy who's getting 35 minutes a game and he played sub 30, I'm thinking maybe he fouled out. And if he didn't, maybe this guy got injured.
Yeah, everybody preaches this, but minutes are key because it tells you what the coach is thinking. It tells you how the player's contributing. And for most players, if your name is not Eric Gordon, minutes will translate into fantasy.
Okay, so today we're going to take three games from Saturday night, and we're going to look at beyond the box scores, what you can interpret from them.
Sure.
First one is going to be the Suns-Pacers game. The first thing that pops out to me when I look at the Suns is the three-headed point guard monster. And it is not working out for Dragic and Bledsoe. If you drafted any one of these guys, you know, we talked about it early in our preseason draft overview, is that, you know, these guys, they're all so good. They're going to take away from each other's value, cumulative value. And the only one that I can see that has some residual value out of this, who's going to maybe outperform their draft position, is Isaiah Thomas. And particularly where I find this guy interesting is in DraftKings. He's been averaging about $5,800 for daily leagues in that format. And his ordinary value is not that great. I mean, we're talking he'll average about 13 to 17 DraftKings points. But where this guy gets particularly interesting is in bad matchups. Poor teams like the Lakers, Philadelphia, Indiana. Those are three examples of teams that you know the Suns are going to blow out. Indiana is a team they beat by 23, Philadelphia by 26, Lakers by 20. In each one of these matchups, he got 23 DraftKings points, 44, 45, and 30. So he's a guy to keep in mind if you're playing in a tournament or a multiplier format, maybe like a one, you got to finish in the top 10% of your league. Somebody like him will give you an extremely high ceiling and maybe a fairly high floor. So that could be a good value pick for you.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think he's the only one who's really maintaining his draft day value from the picks. People really expected Bledsoe and Dragic to be kind of close to where they were. And a lot of this has to do, for some weird reason, with field goal percentage. They're just missing a lot. And obviously the minutes have changed as well, and they're somewhat inconsistent, but their three-point shots are really not falling the way they were before.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very tough plays. Definitely not people you want to lean on in DraftKings, and even head-to-head has gotten a bit more complex for them.
Right. Second game we're going to talk about is the Heat versus the Magic. And the big takeaway from this one is Dwayne Wade. Where did this guy go?
Oh, man. I drafted Dwayne Wade late, and I loved him. And I expected something like this to happen, but I was really hoping because he said that I expect to play every day. You know, I'll expect to play every game. And he's been ruling himself out. And this isn't a team that's tanking. This is a team that is pushing for a top spot in the East. They're still very good. But without him, they're struggling. And I think Wade by this point knows his own body.
Mm-hmm.
But this is something that is really too bad.
It's
sad.
And,
if you drafted Wade, you should know that, you know, you need another shooting guard or point guard to throw in there. But this has opened up some huge opportunity. Pat, you want to talk about Chalmers?
Oh, yeah, Chalmers, man. Anybody who is into daily leagues knows that Chalmers is an incredible value. Over the last four games, and I am excluding the Los Angeles Clippers game because no point guards play well against Chris Paul's defense.
Yeah.
But in the four games outside of that, he's had 24, 22, 18, and 23 points. And he's doing this with an average of about 7.25 assists.
This is actual points, not like DraftKings points, right?
Yeah, these are real points, man.
And hitting threes and he's stealing. Killing it. He's doing great.
I mean, when you look at that box score, it's really Bosch and Chalmers who are dominating the ball.
Yeah, no one else. Lul Deng is not consistent for them.
No, he's not the guy he used to be. The guy who used to play 38, 39 minutes, who looked like Jimmy Butler, who, you know, only came out of the game if he decided he was coming out. His minutes have really dropped off. He's around like 31, 32. So
he's still a good defender. He's still a decent wing.
I mean, he's okay.
He's become Deion Waiters.
I just expected Deng to be part of who is capitalizing on Wade being out. And it doesn't look like his stats have changed at all.
No, they haven't.
So,
I typically don't draft Deng, and I feel sorry for people who did. But he's just not stepping up, and I don't think he will throughout this year.
Yeah.
If he has a really good game or if he has a really good stretch, try to trade him. Try to get rid of him. I just don't see his value.
No. And the last game we're going to talk about is Cavs Raptors, and goodness, Cavs. Oh, I wanted to love these guys. I was excited for the big three, but what is up with Kevin Love, man?
I don't know. I love the Raptors though. I give the Raptors more credit than I take away from the Cavs.
Oh yeah,
they're
pretty good this year, man.
I think the Cavs are right now an average team. Everyone's saying they're going to get better. They are. They're going to get better. Kevin Love right now is telling the media that he doesn't quite know what's going on with his role. And that's true. I watched a couple Cavs games this year. And he's doing a lot of still doing some of the rebounding, the offensive rebounding, the putbacks. He's doing the outlet passes. He's getting down the court, but he's taking up in the short corner and he's trying to allow room for people to penetrate. When he played in Minnesota, there really weren't that many guys who took it to the rack.
I mean,
Ricky Rubio did not score off of layups. Kevin Martin was kind of that guy. He'd get a lot of free throws. Well, there were a lot of jump shot fouls that he would get. Kevin Love now has to clear the lane for Waiters, LeBron.
It's crazy, man.
And,
did they trade for him thinking that he was Kyle Korver? I mean, damn, if you want that guy to sit out on the three-point line
well,
and just wait.
He's still a good three-point shooter. He's still a very good three-point shooter. What he does is he catches the ball in the short corner, and then he does a little dribble, and then he takes that step back so yeah. he gets closer to the three-point line or past it, and then shoots the side shot. It's a good shot. It's a decent shot. He hits him, but it pulls him away from rebounding, unfortunately.
Yeah, he's nowhere in the lane.
And when he is when he's in the post and he gets the ball, a lot of times he'll pass it out because he's smart. I know you're really down on him, and I still think that with 2 threes, 10 rebounds, and 17 or 18 points, Kevin Love is worth a second to third round pick.
Oh,
if he can keep his...
We're not even talking about that, though. He wasn't picked second to third round. He was a first round pick in most leagues.
I would never have picked Kevin Love in the first round.
You and I wouldn't.
No.
But he was pre-ranked.
I think that was obvious, though. And I think that was obvious because there was no way that he was,
obvious
to maintain.
If you were listening to our podcast.
This is true.
Yes. But there's a lot of people out there who picked him, and now they're wondering, what do I have? Do I have a first rounder?
Not at all. No, I'm sorry.
So I got a couple questions for you. Guy went from averaging 26 points per game. He's now averaging 16. He has 12 in the last 12 games. Six of those games, he's averaged less than 10 rebounds.
Yeah,
shooting 40%. Where do you see this guy? I mean, is the field goal percentage going to go up?
Yes. And keep in mind, the Cavs are losing right now. Mm-hmm. And they might be losing because he's not playing well, but other players aren't playing well either. People haven't quite figured out their roles. When a team is in a slump, and what have the Cavs lost, 4 in a row or something right now?
Yeah.
When a team is in a slump, they typically don't have their players putting up huge statistical numbers that are great for fantasy. That's just fact. And so I don't know what the chicken and the egg is, but the Cavs are going to come around and they're going to start to win. And then you're going to start to see Kevin Love's real upside. You're going to see games when he scores 30. You're going to see games when he has 18 rebounds. You're going to see games when he has 5 threes. It's going to happen. He's not going to be what he was last year. He's not a first-round pick.
Do you want to hear my take?
Yeah, what's your take, Pat?
If you have Kevin Love, pull the ripcord right now.
Oh, my God.
Get out of there if you can find anyone who believes, as Noah does, that this guy's going to turn it around, because you make a very good point. Guys typically don't put up the best stats when they're in a slump, right?
Yeah.
However, once these guys get hot, if we expect them to be a dominant team that really is inside out and they're all working on like the cylinders are cranking, right? They're going to be blowing teams out. And when they're blowing teams out, they're going to be tend to sit their starters.
All right.
So, he's playing 36 minutes a game right now.
Yeah.
How much higher can that go? It can't go any higher. I mean, he was playing that last year.
Varejao gets injured. Boom.
Okay.
So they're playing Tristan Thompson and him.
Right. If Varejao goes down, I see his rebounds going up. But the fact that Varejao's there, I don't know, man. If you can get someone to bite on this guy for first-round value, go for it.
I think you lost first-round value the second that you drafted him. So I would say Pat, who would you take? Would you trade Horford?
Right.
So you've got Horford on one of your teams. I know that.
Yeah.
Horford is not playing well. Would you trade Millsap maybe?
I wouldn't trade Millsap, no.
Horford, yes?
In fact, I kind of feel that Millsap and Kevin Love are the same guy now. They're extremely close.
Millsap gets the defensive stats, and Kevin Love has another three, but they're about the same.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's where they're at. He's a third rounder to me.
Yeah, exactly. So, I was going to say third rounder. If you can trade him for Mike Conley or someone of that ilk, good for you.
Yeah. And I love Millsap, man. He's one of the few guys who gets one rebound or one three. One steal and one block.
Yeah, he's a 1-1-1 guy. We like those.
Very few of those. Okay. Sorry to beat a dead horse. I know we kind of don't feel
the same. It's something to talk about. It's really interesting. And I think, you know, Kyrie has really maintained his value a lot more than I thought he would. It could have easily worked the other way for Kevin Love.
Yes,
Kyrie's value dropped off. But Kyrie just has the ball so much more that I just didn't see that happening.
And he's so freaking sick.
Yeah, I thought that Kyrie would drop off a little bit more. I perhaps underestimated how good Kyrie Irving is.
He's incredible.
He's awesome.
Incredible. All right, man. Player analysis.
Yeah.
This is third segment of the podcast, and we got some shout outs.
Yeah.
Top five.
Looking at the top five players right now, my goodness gracious, Anthony Davis. I can't even say how much better he is than everyone else out there. It's kind of like what Kevin Durant was last year, but in big man form, which is awesome. This year, it seems like bigs who score and get average defensive stats are worth their weight in gold. You know, Vucevic is way beyond third, fourth round value to anybody just because he anchors your team and he's getting great field goal percentages and free throw percentages. You know, a guy like people thought that Drummond was going to be big. He's having a real hard time with Stan Van. And in his place, you know, Greg Monroe has stepped up. The guy's doing great. DeMarcus Cousins is fantastic, but leading that pack by like at least, you know, 1.5 times as good as the next guy is Anthony Davis.
He's ridiculous.
Yeah, dude, you just want to run off those stats because it's just wrong.
26 points, 11.4 rebounds. Let's see, he's got a couple assists, 2.2 steals, and 3.5 blocks. Yeah, and you know what? Blocks. His assist to turnover is not even that bad. It's 1.375.
He never turns the ball over. He never turns the ball over.
And he's doing it at 57, 58% from the field goal percentage. So,
It's
gross.
It's not even right. And
so the question is, Durant or Davis? Both at their peak, who are you going to take?
Davis.
I am too.
Because you can
it's hard to get a big that performs like that.
Yeah, I'm just
like
looking
that.
At those guys. Let's say Davis is shooting 8 percentage points better at the same. Let's say they score the same amount of points. The free throw percentage, Davis isn't quite as good as Durant, but he's awesome for a big guy. You know, he's out of position for this. His rebounds are insane. Now, he doesn't have the assist that Durant does, so he's not going to help you across the board that way. But the steals are better than almost the best point guard. He's the same as Steph Curry.
He's one rebound off leading the league in rebounds.
Yep.
He is.
Yeah, it's kind of a low rebound year. You don't see those 12 and 13s around for some weird reason.
He's almost twice as many blocks as the next guy. I mean, he's...
Well, Hibbert's up there.
He's up there.
Yeah, but Hibbert, you know, Hibbert's just a specialist.
He's
really
elite. He's the number three in steals per game. I mean, you're talking about numerous categories. He's number two in points per game, and that's number two to Kobe, who's pretty much a field goal category killer. I mean, you're talking about a guy who in four, maybe five categories is elite.
You want to know who has Anthony Davis in your league? Just see who is leading the league in blocks.
Yeah.
They don't need anybody else.
Right.
Yeah, and they're most likely leading the league in steals. They're most likely leading the league in field goal percentage and in free throw percentage. They've won those categories.
I don't even know what you'd have to trade to get him.
We were talking about this, Pat. I think
you were like, to trade your whole team.
What about Chris Paul and you're like DeMar DeRozan? I was like, yeah, you know, in a nice world that might work out for somebody. Somebody might see that they need that. In reality, I don't think you could even trade Chris Paul and LeBron James.
I'd need to give like John Wall and Chris Paul, like two first rounders.
Yeah, and I then, think I'd and keep even, Anthony Davis. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't think
even then.
Because the person who gives up Anthony Davis, you're losing blocks. You're losing field goal percentage.
Come on, dude. Don't say you wouldn't trade Anthony Davis for Chris Paul and John Wall. That's crazy.
I wouldn't. And the reason is because I already have a point guard or two. Everyone has
point
guards.
I know what you're saying.
I don't want your stinking point guards, Pat. All right. It was your choice to draft 8 of them. I know they're all good, but I don't want them.
You'd need at least like a solid rebounder and
let's
blocker.
Let's say you trade Davis for DeMarcus Cousins and Damian Lillard. Fine.
Oh God. Oh my gosh. Fine. Yeah, I'll do that.
You know what I mean? I mean, like that's kind of like what you'd need to do. Or DeMarcus Cousins and someone else. You would need to maintain your lead in those categories that he is leading right now.
Well, it's a hell of a hypothetical question. unfortunately, neither one of us has any dog in that fight.
We do not. I have so many leagues and none of them have Anthony Davis.
Yeah. All right, man. Let's talk about who's carrying our teams.
Okay.
Unexpectedly.
Yeah.
I know you got like a small forward log jam going on.
Yeah, I do. I didn't draft. Right? I think I drafted Josh Smith to be my small forward, and right now he's borderline don't start. He's not drop worthy, but he's probably murdering you so badly in field goals and free throw percentages. I hoped you benched him like 2 weeks ago. I believe that he is worthwhile, and especially I have him in head-to-head leagues mostly. So I believe that he is worthwhile because he will help you out in the steals and blocks categories.
Yeah.
Maybe double him up and he's probably worth half of Anthony Davis. I don't know. But I really had no one in the small forward category. Well, luckily, all of these small forwards started popping up that help in threes. They're solid contributors across the board. They don't hurt you in any percentages. And we're talking about Courtney Lee of the Memphis Grizzlies. I thought that Vince Carter was going to step into this role, but apparently he's too old now. So Courtney Lee is kicking some booty. Then you have Draymond Green of Golden State, who I took in like the last round of my draft, or like the 12th round or something. And he's really come out to be an all-round contributor. He's one of those 1-1-1 guys. David Lee is injured, so he stepped into that role, and Kerr loves him, gushing all over the media about him. Mm-hmm. And another guy is Evan Fournier, who stepped up when Oladipo got injured and maintained his starting role. He is scoring well. He's shooting well. He even gets defensive stats from time to time. These are all starting people that if they're on your waiver wire, just grab them. And their streaks might not last. I think Courtney Lee will probably last. He's got some staying power. Draymond Green could fluctuate a bit because he's just one of those athletic defenders in kind of a overstock position at Golden State. I don't know if Iguodala is going to step up or what. Fournier, I think, has staying power. And yeah, they're just some great small forward shooting guard pickups out there.
Yeah, and small forward is kind of a shallow category. So exactly. To be able to find someone that's a role player that can help you out, that's really good.
Right. I was trying to think. Maybe there was one more guy that I had that I liked that I started playing in that position as well. But
Tobias Harris is looking like he's injured right now. So I see Fournier coming up. They love him in Orlando. Yeah. So he got even more minutes last night.
Yeah, hang on.
Getting more shots. Involved in assists and rebounding more. So, mm-hmm.
Oh, short term, Wilson Chandler is playing very well.
Oh,
Denver
that's
is
a, good a, it's a real good one.
I don't know, house of horrors right now. And the only real
unpredictable
fantasy option is Ty Lawson, and who knows how long he's going to hang on.
Even he's not been consistent.
He hasn't been, but in the first few weeks of the season, he wasn't. And then all of a sudden, he started posting double doubles like every night. And mm-hmm. So. I enjoy having him on my team. I think he's definitely worth a third round value or fourth round value that I had. If he can pick his field goal percentage up a little bit, start driving the hole.
He's getting some big assist nights.
Exactly. He's getting huge assist nights. But Wilson Chandler and Danilo Gallinari are probably still on waivers for a lot of people.
Yeah, but keep an eye on that because I think, you know, the plan is to really like give Gallinari a shot to get back into that starting lineup, but hopefully it doesn't turn into like a complete timeshare at that position.
Not long term, but if you're like us, it's all about capitalizing on guys when they're playing well.
Short term values.
Grab Wilson Chandler for a week, drop him for Gallinari, or drop him for someone else. But short term value is there.
Good point, man. Good point. So for my team, Tony Roten has been killing it, and now with the comeback of Michael Carter Williams, they're struggling a little bit. Brett Brown, the coach, has been kind of toying with bringing Roten off the bench.
He is struggling a little bit, Pat. You got that.
There's really only three guys that are interesting on that team to watch, and it's Roten, Michael Carter Williams, and I guess Nerlens Noel. Who
I'm talking you down, man.
I know. I start to cry every night that I watch his stats. I don't know what's happening there. But I think Roten definitely has value. If they can bring him off the bench, I think he's actually better.
Sure.
Because that means when MCW is not playing, Roten, his usage is extremely high.
Yeah.
So even off the bench, I see him playing 30, maybe 30 plus minutes. Definitely not a guy you want to drop. Kind of use a wait and see approach with that because Carter Williams is just shooting like a complete gunner. He's looking like Kobe out there, shooting terrible percentage. Yeah. I think he should bring it up a little bit. I don't know.
He's worth it head to head. I just like those rebounding and assist stats and steals and
right.
The potential there. I think he'll be very similar to last year.
In daily leagues, in DraftKings, he could be really valuable once he starts to kind of have some good shooting nights. There'll be off nights. His floor is extremely high,
but correct
and his ceiling is really high.
DraftKings does not penalize you for field goals.
They don't. That's a great point.
And
they don't.
Very minimally for turnovers.
Right? Yes, right.
So that, I mean, he actually is probably a really good pick on DraftKings.
Depending on his dollar value.
Depending on his value, yeah.
Yeah, and that's a great point because I think sometimes the guys don't look that deep into, I mean, I'm sure that the majority of people who are betting their money on DraftKings probably do look that far, mm-hmm. but there's probably plenty of people who associate poor field goal percentage with lower value.
Yeah, it's not exactly an easy game to game right away. So, you know, if you can make money off of someone like me or something, go. I'm still trying to figure it out myself, but.
Brandon Knight is a guy who I absolutely love, and Jason Kidd loves him too. There's not a whole lot of stability in that Milwaukee lineup. They're still rotating guys through, like we mentioned, but he's a guy who's getting consistently 35 minutes a game. He's having a career year right now, and his field goal percentage, you know, I think he, you know, in his career, he's had pretty poor field goal percentage, but man, he's bouncing back and forth between 50% plus field goal percentage nights and maybe like 40%.
He's so starting to figure it out, I think.
Yeah,
he's definitely
I see him
better than last year, and he's definitely a starter on your team.
Yeah. Tyreek Evans, recent injury to Eric Gordon, separated shoulder, means that Austin Rivers moves into his spot. Rivers is a guy who's never really been known as an offensive player, really never been known for anything good.
But would you consider him as a low end value? Would you consider picking up Rivers because of this? Because there's, you know,
I mean, you can keep it. You can keep an eye on him. I see he's the worst option on that team.
Out of the,
I mean, in that starting lineup, I see him just kind of like being a body on the court to play defense. But in terms of like who is the ball running through, it's going through, you know, Tyreek, and then it's going through Anthony Davis.
Yeah, and Anderson. I kind of see
Drew Holiday.
Yeah, everybody but him. I kind of see Rivers stepping into the Eric Gordon mold and being slightly better than Eric Gordon, but not much. Like I could see Rivers scoring, you know, 8-3-3 or 8-10 points, 2 rebounds, and 4 assists or something with a couple threes and a steal.
Yeah, and I mean, I didn't mean to rip on Rivers. That wasn't really my point. Tyreek Evans has been the guy who's been carrying my team. The only knock on him right now is he's shooting sub 30. I mean, he's shooting 39% from the field. But this is a guy who shot his career shooting percentage is 44-45%. So there's plenty of guys out there that have been starting the year off a little bit cold. I see Tyreek is another one who his usage is only going to go up. Yeah. And I see that field goal percentage kind of regressing to the mean.
It's a really good point. If you have someone like Anthony Davis on your team or Dwight Howard, throwing him on there will not affect your field goal percentage all that much.
Yep.
I think it's, or, you know, DeMarcus Cousins. I think he'd be a really nice compliment to a guy like that.
For sure. How about guys who are not meeting your hopes and the hype, preseason hype?
Ty Lawson's kind of coming back. Initially, he really frustrated me. Uh-huh. Dwayne Wade, I knew he'd be injured, so you know that's kind of where it is. I had drafted David West, and oh my God, he is definitely not a person I would slap if I saw on the street. But he's frustrating me because he is pulling the, you know,
he's taking forever to come back thing.
And I thought it was just going to be, they were saying 3 games. They were saying 1 game.
It just keeps going on and on.
You know, and that's another thing is you just can't tell. You know, I thought Rondo was going to be gone a month. Dude came back like first game and hey.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously injuries are frustrating. Guys who are playing but not injured, but they're looking like it are Jabari Parker. I don't know what his deal is. He was playing so well in preseason. He had so much hype. He was looking really confident, looking comfortable, but he is
plays for the Bucks, man.
Yeah, I was saying I wouldn't drop him, but you know what? I think I already did. Now that I think back on it, I dropped him. I think
in what type of league?
I dropped him in standard league. standard roto because I only had three bench spots and
ice just cold.
Wasn't worth sitting on my bench.
Yeah.
And I actually, I think I dropped him in head to head as well.
Okay.
And in a league that has,
I mean, he was averaging like 11 and if
you
5.
Have an, yeah. If you have an injured spot and you can stash someone else there and you have more spots on your bench to keep him, fantastic. But at 10 and 6 with nothing else, I just don't see anybody smart picking him up off the waiver wire.
People kind of expected him to average like 35 minutes and they're giving him 29.
Now that might work out. Jason Kidd was saying for the first couple months he was going to play people just to see who did well and see what lineups worked, and then he was going to, you know, bring down his 11-man rotation to 8. Uh-huh. Not quite sure if that's what's going to happen, but there is potential. I just didn't have the space for it on my team. I just had too many guys who were just playing better.
Yeah.
Blake Griffin, I am a little disappointed with Blake this year. I think people were expecting him to really pop it up to maybe borderline first round value.
Mm-hmm.
And his rebounds are down by like 2 or 3 this year. And his assists are down. His steals and blocks are well below a half. Right now, Blake Griffin is not and obviously his free throw percentage is not awesome. His field goal percentage has dropped because he started to shoot threes and he doesn't really hit them. Blake is no longer a second round value, and hopefully he'll bounce back. The Clips, I watched a couple of their games and they just didn't look awesome as they should, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so Blake has been disappointing for me because I thought he was just going to be a real like DeMarcus Cousins type stud, and he's not.
Right. Barkley was talking about the Clippers and how they kill bad teams.
Yeah.
But they're not stepping it up against the good teams the way they need to.
Yep. And they, you know, part of the reason why bigs who are playing very well are so important, we were just saying, is because a lot of these guys are underperforming. They're not getting you the rebounds you need. They're not getting you the percentages you need. Drummond, oh my goodness. I guess I didn't watch enough Detroit basketball last year to understand that Drummond had 80% of his points just from slashing through the lane and getting alley-oops.
And okay.
You know, he can't score on his own. If you drop him the ball, it said he developed a jump hook and all this, but what we didn't know is that he really has no moves down on the post. And what I didn't know. And I just saw the awesome stats. Everyone was talking him up. I saw what he did for USA Basketball. He looked fantastic. But that was just a run and gun game. And now he's underperforming in pretty much everything. He's being given chances to shoot, but they're not in situations that he's comfortable with. And Stan Van's just going to keep pounding it into him and hope he develops, because Stan Van really wants to have the next Dwight Howard. I'm not saying this guy can't be, but right now that's not his game. Definitely don't drop him. I've been trying to trade for him. People are hanging on for dear life for Drummond because the hype is still big. But I think a few more weeks of 40%, 8 points, 11 rebounds, and 1 block, that grip is going to loosen. I'd say grab him. I'd say Stan Van is not, you know, stupid. I think he's gonna start utilizing Drummond in the way that is effective at some point. But he's been a huge disappointment to a lot of people who took him possibly in the second round and head to head or later.
Right. Man, it's pretty funny. You made a comment about how Stan Van Gundy, it's almost like a one-to-one correlation. When he defends someone in the media, he slowly, incrementally takes their minutes away.
Yeah, he said that about Josh Smith. He was like, oh, Smith is so awesome. He's great after Josh Smith shoots like 1 for 30 or something. and I was like, yeah, well, let's, you know, if you really like this guy, you should play him more. Now they're like arguing and he's dropped his minutes down. And it to Brandon Jennings.
And then I saw Jonas Jerebko. There was a post about how he was defending Jerebko or something. And I was like, just watch. He'll like it. Coach's decision. No playing time next game.
He just builds up like some street cred with him, you know, some rapport. Yeah. And then he just.
And he's like, Yeah. So I said that, but you're terrible. I'm sitting here. They're all right.
And then Nerlens, the great Nerlens debate. Oh man, Pat, you're still high on this guy. I'll be honest. I was just like, I'm gonna reach for everybody and see what happens. You know, that kind of thing, just to have fun.
But yeah, I got myself goodness. I got myself overhyped about Nerlens.
I really don't do this, man.
And we, you know, we did a whole episode about how rookies we never buy into the hype. And I got worked up in the draft, and I took him. Where did I take Nerlens? I took him at 54. I think he was pre-ranked, right about there. And I thought he was a great pick because I envisioned him coming in and there was no one on that Philadelphia team and he would average like 13 points, 10 rebounds, maybe 2 steals, 2 assists. I still see him having the potential
to get
there.
2 or 3 blocks, right? Because he was like, we were thinking he's a blocks king.
Yeah.
Because he is. I don't know, he is, right?
The guy averaged like 4 something a game in college. So he's definitely got the potential to be there. It's just that his minutes have not really been there. And if you look at what he did earlier in the season, he had a couple games where he had 34 and 35 minutes. He got 10 rebounds. He got 3 blocks and he averaged about double digit points. Just recently, this last game on Saturday, he got 38 minutes, 12 rebounds, steal and a block, 17 points.
Right.
So I think he's got the potential, man. He's there. It's just, I mean, this guy didn't play a single game last year. These are the first 12 games he's played in the NBA. He's going to get better. I don't know how much better. I think you're right when you compare him to like not so much an Andre Drummond, but more like a Larry Sanders.
Yeah.
But you know what? Larry Sanders is a guy who could single-handedly, a few years ago when he was like healthy, he could single-handedly win you the blocks category and transform your team. So I'm not happy that I picked him 54. If I could go back in time, there's plenty of guys that I would pick instead of him. I'm saying don't drop the guy. His value is about as low as it can get now, so it can only get better.
I too would say don't drop him. This is someone who's definitely worth it because he has the potential to put up Anthony Davis type defensive stats. And that is very, very rare. He's almost like he's not quite like the Ben Wallace conundrum from back in the day, you know, because he doesn't even rebound that well. But
yeah. And he's skinny. He's just a skinny dude.
Don't play him. Just put him on the bench.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good point.
See what happens. Because right now, I mean, he's not even getting a block a game. If he was getting like 2-3 blocks a game, you know, he might be worth starting. Or even if he was shooting 50% field goals, for goodness sake, maybe he'd be worth starting. But he's not right now.
Yeah, just watch and see what they do with him. If they start inching his minutes above 30, 35 minutes a game, that's when I would start playing him.
He is being outperformed by Henry Sims. So do not
play him. Oh, God. How dare you bring that up? All right, man. Guys on my team who are not meeting the hype, Jeremy Lin. We talked a little bit about him before. My advice, patience. Okay. This guy is not as bad as he's looking right now. He's going to get better. Pray for Kobe to pass the ball. Kenneth Faried, not a guy I have on my team, but I've noticed this guy is underperforming. A lot of people were huge on him coming off of the FIBA World Cup. The guy was like MVP for Team USA. He wasn't actually the MVP, but he played like an MVP.
Yeah, he did.
He definitely led the team in scoring. There was a report that came out that said Faried is just universally disliked by the front office. The coaching staff doesn't like this dude. Apparently, he thinks
a huge contract extension.
Apparently, he thinks he's just the man, and that he should get the ball all the time, and that maybe his lack of minutes is the coach trying to teach him a lesson. Ouch.
So
that is not a good
situation. Maybe he learns a lesson and you know, gets over his hubris and plays better.
I don't know.
Your long-term prognosis on this? Do you think it's going to get any better?
I would never have drafted him.
I drafted him. I don't mind. He drafted him a little later. He's not awesome. He's definitely underperforming.
If you look at Faried's career with Denver, anytime he's gotten minutes, he has killed it. But this guy does not consistently get minutes. He had 20. I mean, 2012, he averaged 28 minutes. 2013, he averaged 27 minutes. These are years that he played 80 games. This guy is not injured, right? 2014, he's averaging just under 27 minutes. Nothing's changed in 3 years.
The weird thing is that I don't think he's a lockdown defender. I think he just kind of flies around and, you know, tries to get steals and blocks. But I think that's part of the reason why they're not playing him, is because he can't. Any big man who's going up against Denver scores like a trillion points.
Yeah,
you know,
that's so true. Nobody, I mean, that's another good point. If you're playing in a daily league, DraftKings, you got to look for statistical correlations, right? Match-ups, if you see teams that are particularly bad at defending and rebounding, Nuggets are one of those teams. And if you've got guys who are going up against them, like the Lakers, are going up against the Nuggets, I play the bigs on the Lakers team, because I know they're going to outperform their typical stats.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Yeah, Kenneth Reed, I think a lot of people thought he was going to take a step up. A lot of those guys from the summer, they thought were going to step up Drummond and Reed, and they did not. So
right.
it's a good one. It's a good one for sure.
Trey Burke, also not on my team. This is a guy who I wanted so bad in the draft. And sometimes the draft just kind of like saves you from yourself. you've got those guys on your watch list, and you're about to draft them, and they get snagged, and you're just devastated. But sometimes, man, you are not meant to get those guys. And Trey Burke is a guy who really, he looked in the preseason like he was incredible, and he really is performing pretty much the way he was last year.
Yeah, very strange.
I don't know. I wouldn't be trading for him, and I wouldn't be expecting him to get that much better. He should get somewhat better, but
he just doesn't know how to shoot.
I think you got what you got. You're seeing it right there.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, even the coach and the speed of that team is not going to, you know, they're not going to revolutionize his game.
Right.
All right, man. Let's go on to Noah's notes. Let's head towards wrapping the show up. Yeah.
For sure. I talked earlier about this. I was saying that, you know, teams who are winning tend to have players with inflated stats. Teams that are losing tend to have players with deflated stats. Something to keep in mind, you know. If Philadelphia 76ers go on a tear or something like that, you're going to see some really good stats from those guys. So keep in mind that.
I don't see that happening, man. On a tear?
Maybe they win like two or three in a row. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that'll typically happen. So don't quite panic, because it is kind of an ebb and flow. For example, Melo owners, you know, he was doing really badly at the beginning of the year. Hopefully you didn't trade him. Hopefully you hung on, because he's coming back. Teams like, you know, the Spurs, the Clippers, the Hawks, they're not quite where they should be. And as they start to really steamroll towards 50-plus win seasons, expect those guys to pick it up. Griffin, for example, or Tim Duncan or someone like that. There are certain teams that are really hot, or that were a week or two ago, Golden State, Houston, Memphis, they might start to cool off. You know, I can't see Memphis only losing 6 games this year. So keep in mind that, you know, Marc Gasol or Courtney Lee might drop off a little bit in their production value. Especially, you know, earlier in the season, there's only a small data sample that you can go off of, and sometimes players just had one really awesome game that skyrocketed them up the ranks. Klay Thompson was playing awesome. He was just on fire. And it's pretty easy to predict that he's going to come back down a bit. And it's great to see that he's shooting more free throws now. He's taking it to the rack. I think he's going to be better than last year, but he's not going to be hitting 4 threes a game. Trevor Ariza is also kind of in that camp. You know, sometimes shooters get ranked really, really high because they hit a lot of three-pointers. And right now, you know, I see Houston kind of on a downturn. Dwight Howard's injured. Horrible injury with Terrence Jones. I guess it's some nerve damage. And as a fantasy owner, that's not something you want to see. Without those two bigs in there, they're gonna struggle. Pat, you got some predictions for us?
I do indeed. So we talked a little bit about Chalmers. I see Mario Chalmers staying in the Miami Heat starting rotation. That might not be a groundbreaking prediction, but this is a guy who last year, following the playoffs, he really underperformed, and he was almost embarrassing in that series against the San Antonio Spurs.
Right.
And he, in the preseason, you know, in the summer, in the preseason, he was saying, now that LeBron's out, I want to take more of an offensive role. I think he's proven to the Heat coaching staff that he's ready for it. And even after Dwayne Wade comes back, I see him staying in there.
You said the same thing about Roten last time, man. You were right on.
Yeah.
It's a good call.
Thanks, man. Okay, so second prediction is that the Cavaliers will continue to struggle, but I do believe they will get above 500. Kevin Love, you know where I stand on him.
Yeah.
I believe that he will average less than 10 rebounds through Christmas.
So Cavs are going to be above 500 by what? Like after by Christmas?
By Christmas.
So pretty close. Right. I mean, they're only like a game or two up. Yeah.
I mean, they're just so bad right now. I don't see them finishing in the top four throughout the even, you know, to the end of the season the East.
In top four in the East. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's on the table.
That's a great prediction.
Is that bold? I don't think that's bold right now.
You don't think so?
But okay. I'll take it.
Okay, so you said throughout the season. All right.
Throughout the season. That's a long-term one, right? You could put that down. Pencil that
down. That's great. I'm going to put that in.
All right. Now, I don't know if this is a bold one either, but the Dallas Mavericks, I'm in Dallas right now. I'm watching these games all the time. These guys are outstanding. They're killing it. And I see them being top team in the West within the next couple of weeks.
Very nice prediction, dude. I like it. Dallas is fantastic.
And they're going to be a contender. They're going to be a contender for the conference championship this year. They're awesome, man. They're a well-balanced team. They have the right pieces.
Very well.
They look very good team.
They look very good. And they have veterans too. I think they can weather a downturn.
Now, one last thing I'm going to throw out there is a DraftKings tidbit. This is for Monday's game. Anybody who was watching the Bulls the other night, this would be Friday night, they saw Taj Gibson rolled his ankle. You know, Pau Gasol's out. Gasol is apparently trying to make a comeback by Monday. If he does, make sure he's in your lineup, because the way DraftKings works is when guys are injured, their values typically go down quite a bit. And the first game back, it's always lower than it should be.
Guys come right out of the gates. If you've seen people do that this year, like Bradley Beal the other day, it's like he didn't miss any time at all.
Roaring out of the gates. Yeah. And I mean, Gasol's been out for some calf. He's been out for like a calf issue. So it's nothing like too debilitating. But if Gasol and Gibson are both out, look for Nikola Mirotic.
There. Yeah, perfect.
Russian or Serbian. Yeah. He's been awesome, man. And he shows a lot of potential. So that's a guy who's probably way down there on the value and has a lot of opportunity to return to give you an excellent return on that investment.
Fantastic. I don't speak Yugoslavian.
that's probably what it is, right?
I don't speak that.
All right, man. So that wraps it up for episode 5 of the Fantasy Hoops Breakdown. Thank you guys for downloading this week's podcast. We'd love to hear from you, our listeners. So hit us up on Twitter at Breakdown Hoops and keep the fantasy dialogue going. Noah, good rapping with you, brother.
Hey, man. Great to have you back. Good luck with little Lindsay. And let's do this again as soon as we can.
That sounds great, man. All right, brother. Take it easy. Man.